can you keep a secret?
Of course I can.
I lost all our money today betting on sports.
Damn.
I know. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Can I tell you a secret?
Sure, yeah.
I lied. I can't keep secrets.
Wait, what?
Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
I'm a Coke.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Try to save the
bubble. Really, this is
you
what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station. The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports.
Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. Frank Reich has become the first NFL head coach to get fired in back-to-back seasons mid-season. I need to get his agent.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man. With a cool one in
his head. Howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I hope y'all are having a great day here in Braves Country. Braves Country Radio coming your way as we are getting set. Talk a little NFL this hour. As we begin what I consider the third part of the NFL season. I believe there are four actual spots in the NFL season, four quarters to the NFL season. You've got the very beginning of the season. And if you want to take the preseason and lump it into the first, I say 3 weeks nowadays, because we get basically no preseason. You have to lump them all together. So the first 3 weeks to me is the very first part of the season. It's the first quarter. And these are not broken up evenly. And then once you get to week four, you kind of get the feeling of who your team is, what you need to improve on, et cetera, et cetera. And then you take week four all the way until Thanksgiving weekend. When we get out of Thanksgiving weekend, you're going to take yourself into the third quarter. We just finished the second quarter. And that will take you all the way to the end of the regular season. And then the fourth quarter, the most important quarter, is of course the NFL playoffs. We're going to take a look at where teams stand right now. But can you believe this owner of the Carolina Panthers, David Tepper? He's only owned the Panthers for a couple of seasons. He's already got two head coaches. Well, three if you count, four if you count the interims. And he denies being impatient, but yet he's already fired Frank Reich. If you remember, Frank Reich did not, according to reports, want Bryce Young as his quarterback. And he thought he was going to have the pick of the litter. He thought he was going to be heavily involved in the decision. According to reports, and you can believe what you want to believe, but sources very close to the situation claim that that was not his guy. There's always been an argument on who his guy was. Most believe that it was C.J. Stroud. Some believe that it may not have been, that it may have been Anthony Richardson. But regardless, this wasn't his guy. And for whatever reason, he felt pressure to start Bryce Young right out the gate. And I don't know about that one. I thought it was an odd choice at the time. Very odd choice to put Bryce Young in the driver's seat, a small quarterback with a terrible roster, mind you, and put him in the driver's seat in the first week of the season. Everybody knew this team was going to stink. So not only did the Panthers trade away their immediate future, they did so while also choosing what appears to be the lesser of the quarterbacks at this point. What it looks like at this point is that the Texans absolutely hit the jackpot with C.J. Stroud. If he stays healthy, he's going to win Rookie of the Year. Hell, there's talk about C.J. Stroud being MVP, up in the MVP votes right now in the National Football League. And so that alone to me is really, if you really want to talk about spitting the bit, it was the front office that chose Bryce Young. Anyway, you look at it, they fired Frank Reich, and he'll get a look. He'll land on his feet again. This guy's got 9 lives. We all know that once you get in the NFL coaching circles, you'll get another opportunity. Especially considering the circumstances here. And it appears that Frank Reich is doing a terrible job at picking jobs. Frank Reich is out there working for 2 maniacal owners back to back. I think Frank Reich's best thing that he could do is step away from the game for a few years, collect his paychecks, and wait for the right opportunity. Now, I don't know if he's going to be willing to go back into the ranks as a assistant, a coordinator. We'll see how that plays out, but I just feel like he got done a raw deal. Now, we don't know everything there is to know about the story, and there's a very good chance that he welcomed the departure, because when you get involved in something and you think you're going to have input on who they're going to pick, and it turns out you don't have input, and they draft the guy that you don't necessarily are head over heels about, 2 things are true. A, you're probably better off going somewhere else. And B, Bryce Young's probably better off with someone else. Because Bryce Young, at this stage in his career, he's still just a lump of clay that needs to be molded, right? And he needs to get someone in that building that believes in him. So whoever the next head coach is has to be willing to tie their future to Bryce Young. And it may be more difficult than what David Tepper thinks to find someone who believes that heavily in Bryce Young. But that's what they've got to find. They've got to find an offensive guy. It's got to be an offensive guy that takes over the Panthers, because it's got to be someone who can try to figure out not only Bryce Young, but the pieces that he's going to need. I just think the whole thing was odd to fire a head coach, 11 games into his career, or into his tenure, not his career, into his tenure with the Carolina Panthers. We move on from that, and it looks like the Colts are going to be without Jonathan Taylor for a hot minute. If you missed that on the news cycle, Colts running back Jonathan Taylor is dealing with an unspecified thumb injury. And they're saying, and this is reported from Ian Rappaport, he's usually pretty well in the know, it could force him to miss several weeks. So there you have that. That means Zach Moss has got to step up, and step up in a big way. If you're out there on the waiver wire looking for someone to pick up, Moss would be the guy to pick up if he's available in your fantasy leagues. Other things going on in the NFL. You've got, first of all, this week there are 6 teams on a bye. Baltimore, Buffalo, Chicago, Las Vegas, Minnesota, and the Giants. Three of those teams are hot and heavy in the playoff race. So I'll be honest with you, if you look at the slate, it's kind of slim pickings on Sunday. Thankfully, we're getting an incredible back-to-back Friday night and all-day Saturday in college football, because in the National Football League, I mean, what would have been considered a great matchup, Jaguars-Bengals Monday Night Football even, that's kind of a dud now because Joe Burrow's out for the season. Not saying that Cincinnati can't put up a fight, but you don't have the marquee matchup. If you're looking for games that are actually of note and of interest going into this week. Now, Thursday night's a pretty good one. Not going to lie, that's a pretty good NFL matchup. Seahawks go to the Cowboys. We had originally planned on doing that game play-by-play on Braves Country Radio. No more. We have pivoted, and we are going to bring you the Pac-12 championship, and we are going to bring you the SEC championship. And it's tough enough doing back-to-back football games like that, play-by-play. There's just no way I'd be able to do that along with everything else I have to do. Three games back-to-back-to-back like that. So, Thursday's a pretty good game. Or at least we hope it'll be a good game. The Cowboys tend to be almost a juggernaut at home and then very pedestrian on the road. So, this game's in Dallas. I would suspect that they're going to go out there full throttle. They're a 9-point favorite. It tells you what Vegas believes in. But it is an interesting game. It's a game of note. Now, if you're talking about games that actually matter, because there are some games that matter that may not necessarily be that enticing to you, because you'd really have to be involved in some of these. I mean, we're basically talking about you would have to be involved in the fan base. In other words, Colts, Titans, it's important for a Colts fan. Very, very little of importance for Titans fans. The Titans, I mean, you're sitting there at 4-7. You can pretty much go ahead and punt on 2023. And you're almost rooting for Tennessee to lose some of these games to be able to get up there in the standings. That you're not quite there yet, where you're wanting to tank for certain draft picks. But sitting at 4-7, a realist is going to tell you the Titans have zero chance of making the AFC playoffs. They are 14th, tied for 13th in the AFC. And they would essentially have to run the table at this point to go 10-7. If they went 10-7, I still don't know if they would make the playoffs. Because even at 10-7, right now they're 2-5 in their own conference. But the reason why this game is of importance is because the Colts are sitting on the number seventh best record in the AFC, and 6-5, and though it looks like they're going to be without Jonathan Taylor, they can still beat Tennessee in Tennessee. It's going to be a dogfight and should be a fun game. But once again, it's really a Colts fan and a Titans fan that's going to be into that. Chargers and Patriots, I can't sell this on you to you any which way, because the Chargers are in the same boat as the Titans at 4-7, and the Patriots are a disaster. Lions are at the Saints. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff. That's not a terrible matchup. It is in New Orleans, so you give New Orleans a much better chance of winning this game. But it's do or die time for the Saints. They cannot continue to scuffle, considering where they're at right now in the standings. Because I don't think a wild card is realistic for anyone in the AFC, in the NFC South. So I think you're realistically looking at it's division or bust. And you still have three teams in the thick. Atlanta is 5-6. New Orleans is 5-6 technically Atlanta has the tiebreaker on New Orleans, but all that gets played out in the end, so we'll move on from that part of it. Atlanta is 4-4 in the conference, which could play big dividends later. But Atlanta's 5-6, New Orleans 5-6, and then Tampa Bay, as terrible as they've been, they're 4-7. They're only a game out, and they still control their own destiny. So if you're into those teams, the Falcons, by the way, are at the Jets this weekend. That's a big game for Falcons fans. But if you're looking for marquee matchups, there are very few of them. You got the Steelers hosting the Cardinals. Steelers, believe it or not, are 7-4. Though they don't feel like a 7-4 team, they are 7-4. And with the very, very strong possibility of either a wild card or maybe even a division title, the Steelers are right there, and they've got to be a game at home against Arizona. That's a game you got to win, Tomlin. Absolutely got to win that game. You cannot lose to the Arizona Cardinals at home and have any semblance of, well, we'll get him next week, et cetera, et cetera. You've got to win that game. Same thing with the Dolphins, 8-3, traveling to the 4-8 Commanders. Well, the clock is ticking on Ron Rivera. He'll be one of the next ones fired. And the Commanders, they're going to be at home. Howell and company will put up a fight offensively. They'll get a lot of yards through the air, but you got to figure the Dolphins are going to roll them. Dolphins, a 9.5-point favorite on the road. That's a tricky one. I'm leaning Washington at this point, but we'll talk more about that in a bit. Broncos, Texans. This, believe it or not, and you never would have believed this at the beginning of the season. Hell, you wouldn't have believed this a few weeks into the season as bad as the Broncos were playing. But this is one of the biggest games in the National Football League in Week 13. How the hell is that possible? Game is in Houston. Broncos are a 3.5-point dog. Texans are going to try to rally and rebound. Broncos have been white hot. And this is one of these games. This is the game that I'm going to be most locked in on. Every Sunday, I got a couple of big screens that I put a couple of games on, and then I've got one minor screen and a fourth one that I put up to the top that they'll usually have multi-views on or whatever. I just kind of check the scores as I go along. This is going to be one of the games I'm going to be locked into. Broncos-Texans is the biggest game in my interest and in most people's interest. This is the biggest game in that 1 o'clock window. And then we look at the 4 o'clock window. Panthers at Bucks, Snorefest. Bucks should win that game. If they don't, oof. Now, the one thing I'll say, usually when a coach gets fired, the team plays inspired. So be careful taking that game. I don't believe enough in Tampa Bay to lay 5.5 against anybody, but they should cover the spread. Browns are at the Rams. That's another brutal game. Browns 7-4, Rams 5-6. And you can sell it as this and that and the importance of it, but let's be honest, the Browns being 7-4, it's a mirage because without Deshaun Watson, this is going to be a very tricky test for Cleveland to try to go the rest of the way and somehow get in the playoffs. I do feel like they're going to sneak into the playoffs. And DTR is fun to watch. And they're much more likable without Deshaun Watson on the field. But that's going to be a hard ask because that Cleveland offense is going to be very limited with the rookie quarterback out of UCLA. The big game, the one that everybody's going to be looking forward to. And it's the game that I want to be locked into from kickoff to the final gun. The 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers travel to the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a 4:25 kickoff. That is the Fox game of the week. That game is going to crush the ratings I heard the other day that the game between Buffalo and Philadelphia was one of the most watched games in several years. I'd be willing to bet this game will top it. Because you just had Buffalo and Philadelphia involved in it. This right here, San Francisco and the Eagles. You got West Coast and East Coast, the whole nine yards, two of the best teams. It's a rematch of the NFC Championship game. And this time, we got the healthy quarterbacks. Or should have both quarterbacks healthy. San Fran, believe it or not, at the 10-1 Eagles. You ready for this? The 49ers are a 3-point favorite. And most folks would say, "Well, man, you got to take the Eagles. They're at home. They're getting points." I'm not touching it. This is one of those few games. I'm just excited to watch it. I'm excited to watch and see where it lands. If it gets closer, moves closer towards San Francisco, there's a very good chance that I'm going to take San Francisco on a money line type action. Because I do believe they're the better team. I think they're going to be motivated to show that. But, that's a big but. If it's 3, 3.5, 4, somewhere in that neighborhood, I don't want any part of this. The Eagles are very tough at home. And because they run the ball so well, it'll be a shortened game. And with that being said, what are they sitting at right now? The over-under is 46.5. Honestly, that sounds about right. And these two teams have firepower, so I don't love playing the under. But at the same token, and I also want to see what the weather's going to be like. But if it's bad weather up there, it's a stay-away game for me, but I cannot wait to watch that game. Chiefs and Packers is your Sunday night game, by the way. Not a terrible matchup. The Packers are playing a little better. I've just got this feeling that the Chiefs are going to go up there and dismantle the Packers. And not really looking forward to that one. Bengals and Jaguars, once again, is the Monday night game. Jacksonville's an 8-point favorite. They should dominate this game. Kick off to the final gun. I got Jacksonville covering that game in a big way. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, the NFL Power Hour, baby. We're going to rank the teams, tell you who the best teams in the National Football League are, give you our Dirty Dozen. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio.
Are you an adult?
Yeah.
And you went out last night?
Yeah.
Introducing a hangover.
What's that?
Surprise, idiot. You went out and actually had fun last night, but your body is here to remind you that's not allowed. With a hangover, you can have a light breakfast to soothe your tummy. See if drinking more will help. And finally, start your day at 6 p.m.
I went out last night for casual drinks with a friend, and now I can't even form a coherent thought.
Try it today.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Your true friends are the people in your life that totally get your inside jokes, your unique style, most important, what you want to eat. Taco Bell knows that when you get together with your real friends, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but hey, it might as well be something that everybody can get into, like the taco and burrito cravings pack with 4 crunchy tacos and 4 beefy 5-layer burritos. So even if you're all sitting around doing absolutely nothing, you know you'll still have a good time. It's Taco Bell's taco and burrito cravings pack. Get it for the friends that get it.
Dixie Handle Company, 5 generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it.
Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
Memories are all I have to cling to.
Cling to.
And heartaches are the friends I'm talking to.
But you got me now.
When I'm not thinking of just how much I love you.
I love you too.
But I'm thinking about things we used to do.
Used to do. Thinking about things.
Like a walk in the park.
Welcome back.
Like a kiss in the dark.
Things.
The great.
Like a sailboat ride.
Yeah, yeah.
Dean Martin and Nancy Sinatra. If you don't know, you know. Let's go ahead and get into the NFL Power Hour. We do this every week, ranking the top teams. We're doing a dirty dozen going forward. I feel like you got to at least be naming 13 teams. Heck, you're going to have 14 in the playoffs, seven in each. And as we get a little closer, we'll start ranking them in each conference. But we're just doing an even 13 across the board, both conferences combined. And before we get out of here today, we're going to take a look at the early lines and tell you some of the... I'm going to give you two picks today, and then we'll go from there. The number 13 team on the power rankings, I'm going to go ahead and put the Atlanta Falcons there. They're sitting there at the number one seed in the South Division. They are tied with New Orleans, but hey, they just beat the Saints. Tampa Bay's on their heels. I get it. And this isn't a thing where you're like, oh, watch out for the... I don't believe this Atlanta team's really that great of a team, but I do believe that you have to respect the fact they are leading their division. And if they win that division, they are going to host a playoff game. Now, here's the thing. They're going to New York this week to play the Jets, who have been an absolute dumpster fire. Their offense is absolutely abysmal. Falcons defense has to go there and shut them down. This cannot be the week that all of a sudden Tim Boyle throws for 320 yards and two touchdowns and the Jets hang 28 on the board. Here's the Falcons. We talked about this earlier in the year. The toughest part of their schedule was the beginning of the season. Now, they're playing a weaker schedule because of the bad record from last year. They've got the Jets this week. That's a game you just got to win. You got to win it. And then they're going to come home and host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And those 2 weeks are absolutely crucial. You beat the Saints at home 24-15 this past Sunday. That gets wiped out if you lose on the road to the dirty Jets, the lowly Jets. J-E-T-S suck this year. And it's a shame because the Jets have a fine defense. Whatever this under ends up being, whoo, you got to think about banging that under all day long. I mean, this is going to be a disaster of a game. Only the strong-willed, only the ones with very strong stomachs are going to be able to sit through this four quarters of mess. But even with that being said, you got to go in there, you got to win the game. You're going to be at home against Tampa next week. Then you're going to go to Carolina. You're going to come home against the Colts, and you're going to finish it off with road games, but it's Chicago and New Orleans. There's not a single game left on this slate that the
that the Falcons should not win. Now, they're not going to rattle off seven consecutive victories to finish the season. We know that. If that were even a possibility, they wouldn't have had a three-game losing streak coming out of the bye. And I still have a lot of questions when it comes to Arthur Smith and company, because I'm telling you right now, as you watch this offense on a daily, on a weekly basis, and I've been watching more Falcons football this year than I've ever watched. The play calls, especially in the red zone, are absolutely maddening. It's just, it's play after play after play where you're like, what in the hell are you doing? It'll be fourth and a long two, and they'll try to ram it up the middle, which never works in the National Football League. But the Falcons are my number 13 team, and we move on. Number 12 team, this isn't going to take a whole lot of talk about this one, but it's the Seattle Seahawks, and they are dangling there by a thread because they're heading to Dallas. And if they get creamed like I think they may, they're coming out, and they're going to have a hard time getting back in. I'm giving Geno Smith one more chance to prove me wrong that the Seattle Seahawks may be more pretender than contender this year. My number 11 team, this is a team I think we've all been impressed by. And it's not like they're tearing the cover off the scoreboard. They're winning with solid defense and mistake-free-ish offense. They're winning the games. They're winning tight ones. And they're also winning going away a couple of them. But the Denver Broncos, you got to put them in the Dirty Dozen this week. You got to. They have been, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the biggest surprises to date here in this. Because when you go back to the fact, in week three, they were 0-3 and coming off a 70-20 shellacking. Not to mention the fact this team was 1-5. Hell, this team got blown out by the Jets at home. The Jets put 31 on this team. And then all of a sudden, they started to piece it together. They got a close win, but they got a win against the Packers at home. And no one really thought much of it because the Packers weren't playing very well at the time. The Packers have played much better since. The ones that really made you stand up and go, uh-oh. They get a very convincing win at home against the Chiefs, 24-9. And they follow that up. And really, most of us just kind of put that, well, all right, yeah, they won. But look, it's a divisional game. They were at home. That's not the most shocking score that we're going to see all year long. So, whatever. Then the next week, they go into Buffalo. And a lot of things had to fall their way, but they beat the Bills in Buffalo. And then the same thing, they came back the next week and they were at home on a Sunday night game and sloppily stumbled in somehow. I watched that game, I don't know how the hell it happened. They beat the Vikings by one and then absolutely took it to the Browns. Now they're going on the road to Houston, and this is going to be one of their toughest tests. And they got a tough stretch here. They are at Houston, at the Chargers, and at the Lions. Back-to-back-to-back road games in the National Football League are usually a disaster. You're lucky to win two. You're more likely to drop two of three, and you just hope you don't get swept. And if they can somehow... Let's say they come out of this and they win. Let's say they do go 1-2. So they would get, they would come off that schneid and go home on Christmas Eve with the, what, 7-7 record to host the Patriots and then host the Chargers and then to finish it off at the Raiders. If they're 7-7, Denver could definitely end up in the playoffs. 7-7 and at home against the Patriots, win. Home against the Chargers, probably a win. And you're 9-7 going in to Vegas, which ends up being a neutral site game for folks who haven't really paid attention to the Raiders. It's been a neutral site game since the Raiders showed up in Vegas. Because, especially when if you're playing a team like Denver that's so close by, the folks travel and they go into Vegas to make a weekend out of, to make a weekend of it. Now, if Denver finds a way to win 2 of 3, look the hell out. Because that's no longer just in the conversation. They would be probably controlling their destiny to get into the playoffs. So Denver is my number 11 team, and I'm putting them at number 10, even though they're only 6-6. But I just believe this is a pretty damn good football team, and they haven't quite put it together yet, but they better get it together now, and they better get it together quickly. They got a bye this week, but the Buffalo Bills are my number 10 team. I just cannot believe that we're going to go week after week after week and not see some semblance of what we'd seen over the past couple of seasons of the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, if you look at what they've got left on their schedule, and it's not a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination, but they're going to come off that bye. I'd say, I'm guessing the next two games for Buffalo have got to both be, what do they call it, America's Game of the Week, whatever tagline they give it. 4:25 Sunday, December 10th, they are at Kansas City. 4:25 December 17th, at home against the Dallas Cowboys. Then they finish it off at the Chargers, at home against New England, and at the Dolphins. And Buffalo, probably coming out of that, let's be honest, they probably need to go 4-1 to make the playoffs. 3-2 is going to be really sketchy. I don't know if they're going to be able to make the playoffs with 8 losses. So they've got to go in and beat Kansas City. The only thing that helps them out a little bit at the end when they play Miami, Miami's probably not going to be playing for anything. So all their guys are probably going to be resting. I would think the Dolphins would have the division sewn up. But outside of that, man, this is going to be a rough, rough stretch for the Bills. And they've only got themselves to blame. When you lose games, like the first game of the season to the Jets, they lose. It was technically a home game, but remember, it was overseas to the Jaguars. But recently, and this is where it's really fallen apart, you lose to New England, you lose to the Bengals, which obviously was before Joe Burrow spit the bit. And then you lose at home to Denver. Even with that, and the only reason I'm putting them in the top 10 is because it was an impressive showing against a very good Philadelphia team. But like I said, for them to make the playoffs, I think we're talking about 4-1 down the stretch. I'm not giving them much of a chance. I still think this team is too damn good to be outside the top 10 as far as on a talent basis. I saw someone talking about the possibility of them changing head coaches the other season. I just have a hard time believing it. It was a bad year for Buffalo, but that doesn't mean that you just tear the whole damn thing apart. I mean, who are you, the Panthers? Detroit is my number 9 team in the land. They're 8-3. And though they have a better record than the team right in front of them, I'm really starting to wonder about Detroit. I mean, when you lose that game at home on Thanksgiving to the Green Bay Packers, I've got a lot of questions. Got a lot of questions that need to be answered before I can put you above the number 8 team, which is the Houston Texans. Now, if Houston loses to Denver this week, obviously they're going to slide right out, but I am impressed with this Houston team. I felt like they had a very good opportunity to beat Jacksonville this past weekend, and they just did not capitalize at the end. But C.J. Stroud, he's got 3,200 yards passing and 19 touchdowns against 5 interceptions. That is unbelievable. That Tank Dell, he is an absolute wizard out there slinging those catches left and right. He got robbed of one on a ticky-tack. I believe it was a motion penalty. It was an unbelievable catch. And Nico Collins isn't exactly a slouch himself. That's my number 8 team in the land. The number 7 team in the land, this is where the talent really starts getting gritty. Go with the Dallas Cowboys. They're 8-3. They're going to be at home against Seattle. They better win that game if they want to keep pace with Philadelphia. I think a lot of people think it's a foregone conclusion that the Eagles are going to win the East. Remember something. Next week, Sunday Night Football, Eagles are at the Dallas Cowboys. And that is going to be a fun one. And that is a tough stretch for the Eagles. So listen to what the Eagles have been through. And if they continue to win, my God, you know, just tip your cap to them. But I think they're going to get some losses. They just played a gauntlet of Cowboys, Chiefs, and Bills. They had a tough game against the Commanders right before that, by the way, and were paired up against the Dolphins the week before that. So 4 of the last 5 games have been the elite. Going forward, the Eagles are going to play at home against the Niners this week. They're at the Cowboys, at the Seahawks. And if they can get through this, then it's easy street. Giants, Cardinals, at the Giants. And they're going to destroy the Giants both times they play them. And they should smoke the Cardinals. The Seattle one's, that's a hard one to call because Seattle usually plays much better at home. But for folks who think that this Dallas team is just playing for a wild card, they've got their eyes on those Eagles. They need to win this Thursday. We get that. But they get to host those Eagles, and if they beat the Eagles, what if San Francisco goes into Philly and beats San Francisco and the Eagles lose on the road to the Cowboys the following week? The Cowboys and Eagles would be tied at the top of that division, assuming Dallas takes care of Seattle. It's going to be a tough, tough road. Number 6 team on the list is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're 9-3. They're not going to get tested this week, by the way. They're going to play at home against the Cincinnati Bengals, Monday Night Football. And then they are at the Browns, at home against the Ravens, at the Buccaneers, home against the Panthers, at the Titans. That is a recipe for a possibility. Although I don't think they get there. But you look at that lineup. They've got one game that they may not be favored in the rest of the way. And that's the home game against the Ravens. The rest of them they're going to be favored in. They'll be a slight favorite on the road against Cleveland, but they should be a favorite. Jacksonville Jaguars could run the table. They run the table. They will most likely win the top seed in the AFC. because Kansas City would essentially have to run the table as well, and they've got a little tougher road. Not much. They got a little tougher road, and just a much tougher division to play in. And remember, Jacksonville's already gotten past Houston for the second time. The rest of the division is just right there for the taking for the Jaguars. Miami is my number five team. I have a hard time putting Jacksonville above Miami. I feel like on a neutral field, Miami would absolutely dust the Jaguars. Just the offensive explosion. And I think they would have Trevor Lawrence running for his life. My number four team, you got to go with the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens are 9-3. I can't wait for that Baltimore-Jacksonville showdown in a few weeks. Baltimore 9-3. They're on a bye. And they have been nothing but impressive. San Francisco is my number three team. You could make the argument they're the best team in football. But hey, that's what Sunday's for. And if they beat the Eagles, they will be doing some leapfrogging. But they're 8-3. They had that three-game skid when they had all the injuries. But when they're healthy, there's not many teams that can handle and hang with the San Francisco 49ers. Number two team on the list is the Kansas City Chiefs. And though I've normally leaned towards Kansas City being the one seed, you can't not put Philadelphia at the one seed. Now, these guys are 10-1. You got to give them their respect. We'll find out what happens on Sunday, but they're 10-1. They're 5-0 at home. Best record in football. And they continue to just impress the hell out of you. But I just absolutely cannot wait for that game on Sunday. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take a couple looks at the early lines, and we're going to give you a couple of games. We're going to be back in a flash. Keep it locked in here on WQEE. Braves Country Radio coming your way 3-5 every single day. Don't go anywhere.
What about Kelso? I mean, Jackie has him totally whipped.
Ribbed like the family pig.
I am not pig whipped.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give Mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients. No high fructose corn syrup and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
There you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
Like, I don't like winter. Like, I don't like winter. Like, I hate winter. Like, I'm originally from North Carolina, and like, look, I hate winter so much, I'm for global warming. I am voting for it, marching for it. I might start buying people SUVs. I don't care. Ladies, start using hairspray again. No ozone. That's our goal. And see, there's people with me, but there's always a couple of crunchy granolas sitting around. Crunchy granolas sitting there thinking, but the polar ice caps are going to melt and we're all going to flood. No, we're not. We're not all going to flood. We're only losing Rhode Island, Long Island, and Jersey. Bye-bye.
Armchair.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
You say I'm a dreamer. We're two of a kind. Both of us searching for some.
Welcome back. What happened to the Thompson twins? Anyways, Let's go ahead and get into the games this week. By the way, looks like Fran Brown's going to be the new head coach for Syracuse. For those not familiar with Fran Brown, he is the defensive back coach for the Georgia Bulldogs. It'll be interesting to see if he sticks around. I would think typically these guys stick around for the entire run and then we'll go to work after Georgia's finished dusting everybody. I don't see anyone beating Georgia, but anyways, Fran Brown, 41 years old. Congratulations to him. I don't know if that's a great splashy hire. You got me as far as whether or not he's going to have, I mean, he has no coordinator position. Defensive back coach is all he's done. That doesn't mean that he can't be a good head coach. Remains to be seen. I know the challenge is going to be tough in Syracuse, that's for sure. But congratulations to him and good luck to him. Just not when he's playing my team. Let's go ahead and get into the lines, the early lines. So there's a few lines that I like, but I'm just going to give you a couple today and then we'll get more into them. Finish up the 12-pack as the week goes on. There's a couple of lines I'm waiting to actually fall into place and find out what the extra over-under is going to be. We're going to start off with the National Football League and then probably do some college football lines tomorrow. Looking at some of these overs, you know, the over-unders, the spreads themselves, there's some intriguing lines in the NFL here in week 13. And one of the ones that I like the most, now right now they're calling for clear weather, and I'm going to assume that AccuWeather's hitting the nail on the head, 46 degrees, not terrible, just, you know, solid. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. Man, this ought to be a shootout. This really ought to be a shootout. And the over-under right now of the Miami Dolphins versus the Washington football team or Commanders. I'm sorry, but you got to go back to the WFT. I got so used to saying it, and now it just, honestly, it's a better name. It's a much better name. But Washington and Miami, the over-under is 50.5. And I know that the unders have been hitting so much this year, but this feels like a game where you're going to get an old-fashioned shootout. I see Sam Howell chucking the ball around. I don't see any way that the Washington secondary is going to slow down the Miami Dolphins. You realize Sam Howell is on pace to get to 5,000 yards this year? He's at 3,300 yards right now, 18 touchdowns. He does have 13 interceptions, but he's going to be chucking it all around. I'm going to take the over 50.5. And I'm going to tease that with the Washington Commanders. Same game teaser. To 15.5. So the 50.5 will drop down to 44.5. And the Washington football team will be getting 15.5. And I love that. I just think it's going to be good old-fashioned shootout. And whether it's a backdoor cover, whatever, Washington's probably going to hang 25 to 30 points on the board, and that should be enough to stay within 15.5. The rest of the slate, some interesting matchups as we get closer and closer. And it is unbelievable, but the Jets and Falcons, their under is 33.5 right now. 33.5. So I'm going to take Atlanta and the Jets on a teaser to get me to 39.5 on the under. And I'm going to pair that with the game on that same window with the Steelers at home against Arizona. Give me Pittsburgh to just get the win. It's a perfect 6-point tease. Pittsburgh gets the win. And the Cardinals, who are 2-10 going into Pittsburgh, 0-6 on the road. Surely to God, Tomlin gets the W. And so those are my two teasers as we go in to this Wednesday. And we will give you more picks on Thursday and Friday. We got a jam. We'll see you next time. Y'all have a great one. Love you, Braves Country. Braves Country Radio coming your way 3 to 5. We'll be back mañana.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same back time, same back channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Ha! Ha! Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I...
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every 5 purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
We live in a world now that welcomes and nurtures the screwball in all of us.
Hey, it's a new decade, people. Time to get a little nutty. Treat yourself to Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a smooth flavor that combines two of America's favorites, peanut butter and American whiskey. So no more social awkwardness. Time to embrace who you truly are. Get out there and make friends. And be sure it starts with Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's available nearly everywhere. Learn more at screwballwhiskey.com.
Infinium Spirits. Please enjoy responsibly.